everyone. Welcome back. This is session two of our trans surfing series. I'm going to keep it really to the 30-minute mark today because I know we all have so much going on right now. And these concepts are actually, although radical, they're very simple to grasp. And so I just want to touch on them and then lean into doing this in quote-unquote real time. I'm changing how I define that these days, but for argument's sake, real time, your waking, everyday life aspect of your life, lean into doing that for the next week. So, as a quick recap, if you are joining us for the first time, welcome. So delighted to have you here. Start with last podcast, which was the groundwork, the foundations for this work by Vadim Zeeland, which is reality transurfing. And it's a new way of orienting our minds and removing blocks. What I love about this perspective is it really works from the space that we are already everything we want to be internally, our divine self, our best self, our most realized self, however you would like to say that, whatever's comfortable for your own belief system. It's already intact. It's the shining diamond that you carry around with you all the time. What transurfing principles do is they just help remove the layers of that so that that can interface with the material world. It's very essential to realize that our interior and exterior worlds are communicating with each other. And the invisible world, the interiority, is not to be dismissed. It's so easy to do that because we get lost in the dream of the senses. But if we fail to give priority to that interior space, then we're not going to crack this code. And it's really so very, very exciting because this, again, the steps are really quite straightforward and simple. It's just that we're not taught this, although the wisdom has been there all along. It's winking from the esoteric texts, what have you, but the world of Maya, the world of the illusions, is so layered and so dense, it's so easy to fall asleep. So by way of example from last time, let's remember what three principles we were carrying forward into last week. We spent time, I just actually read from Vadim Zeeland's introduction, and I'm not going to do that for the rest of this book because, you know, I don't have copyright for that. And I highly encourage you to get your own copy of that book. It's so fantastic. And also the larger volume of Reality Transurfing, because it goes into great explanatory detail about what pendulums are. We touched on that last time, etc. And so there's a wealth of information there if you want greater explanation, but you don't have to. You know, it's kind of like how that's going to assist you. For me, it helped remove some more doubt, diving in a little bit deeper to the broader text, but I really love keeping it simple as well, because sometimes I delude myself thinking if I understand things more, then, you know, I'll do a better job with this. And that can be a slippery slope for me because, you know, sometimes it's just more powerful to say, I'm going to live and I'm going to let things sort and not think I have to understand everything all the time. That has been something I've brought to the table. That may or may not be as true for you. But I'm going to take about 10 of the 78 principles now each week, roughly somewhere in there, a little more, a little less, depending on the session. And I'm just going to give you the highlights and my thoughts about how it's working for me, any suggestions or beautiful experiences, because I think I mentioned last time, this approach to psychology, because that's really what it is. Yes, you can go into the metaphysical and the quantum mechanics of it, which is fascinating, and I love that. That is a passion of mine. But if you only want to approach this from a psychological point of view, you're good. That's fine. It's just peeling back those layers that get in the way of your most beautiful experience here on this earth and in your own circumstances, having those be delightful instead of onerous. But I mentioned last time that this set of practices, this perspective shift, for which I'm so grateful to Vadim Zeeland and those who have written in similar fashion, this is its own reward. That's what I love about it. That's why I find it trustworthy, because I feel elevated and enthusiastic and in touch with something really beautiful and alive within myself when I'm engaged with this discipline of the mind. So, and you know, I have past training in mindfulness and awareness practice, and that was all good, but this is just richer and deeper in my experience. It's just a broader skill set, and I feel a fuller skill set. So it's its own reward in my experience. I feel really engaged. That's a great word. With my own life. And in the past, I've used the word in the space of this podcast and in other teachings and with clients, co-creating, you know, and I'm not anti that phrase, because doing this discipline is putting energy into your part of the deal, if you will. And the quantum or the spiritual interface, or however you would like to say that, is meeting you in return. But I guess the one pin I would put in that term, quote, co-creating, is that it's already, the creation is already complete. And I think that's important, because I don't want that idea of co-creating to think I have to go out there and do something, because that's one of the subtle ways we sort of get in our own way, because this perspective is about, again, removing the layers of what is for you, what already is for you, your divine, beautiful expression, intact, flourishing, radiating, enjoying this beautiful earth experience. And sharing and loving and being healthy and all of those beautiful things. So that is already in an intact state, and we're removing the blocks to that awareness. You know, that's what the Course of Miracles says. That's what so many traditions say, but this is just another way into it, another route that is making a lot of sense to me. Okay, so last time, the three ideas we had to take forward into the week were: the world has saved the best for me. I give myself permission to be myself and let the world go completely. And then we talked about that idea of remembering the pendulums. I am awake in this dream. I am awake in this dream. So how did that go for you this last week? Did you get any pushback from your own brain, from your own very well-trodden paths in your own mind? That's what I'm discovering, is that, you know, I have certain perceptions that have borne out through life experience, and then they've created, you know, neural pathways in the brain that say, oh, this is always going to be this way. And that's the nature of the brain, right? It's in a very primitive state, trying just to keep us safe, which it's doing a great job at, but that's really different than thriving. And so it's probably pushed back, I'm guessing, for you a little bit this week. That certainly is my experience in diving into these principles, but that's also what's exhilarating about it, because you know you're actually affecting real change if you get some pushback. Okay, so the world has saved the best for me. That is such a wonderful mantra. It's very, very true from this perspective. That is accessible to us in engaging with these sorts of practices. And how was that for you? If that wants to slip back into old programming that says, oh, no, it hasn't, and look at all the misery out here, and you know, look at all those who are going without, et cetera, et cetera. There's plenty of physical material evidence for that. Yes, there is. But that's not what we're about through this perspective. So we just let that be, and we keep reaffirming these new perspectives. And one thing I find really, really fascinating is as I incorporate this new way of thinking into my daily life, I really hear negativity jump out more glaringly than I used to. And that's happened really quickly, relatively quickly in using these principles. Because again, this information is new to me, although some of the concepts I've worked with before, but not in this way. You know, somebody near and dear to me and I are connecting on this, and he said that to me too. He's like, wow. He's like, our minds are completely undisciplined. And I've done a lot of work in this arena, and I had to completely agree. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, my mind is completely undisciplined in regards to this. And you really see the negativity jumping out, whether it is people talking about inflation or the weather or whatever. You know, there's just so much. And it's easy, again, to become lulled into that dream that that's all there is. But that's not all there is. And that's what we're here learning. I give myself permission to be myself and let the world go completely. Okay, this is another way of talking about non-resistance. And we have talked about non-resistance in the space of this podcast from other perspectives. You know, it's quite a common theme in esoteric spiritual traditions, non-resistance. Be like water. Okay, that is really important. I just like this way into it. It's really making sense to me why that's so important. And that's really because of what I've learned about pendulums. And I'll talk about that here in just a second, just to get us all back on the same page. But non-resistance is so essential. And I used to kind of engage with that like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, like I did it, but I didn't really get why that was so powerful. It is such a powerful position. But that is because two things are happening. You are seeing through the illusion. You are seeing through the illusion that the material world is all there is when you don't resist it. Now, that doesn't mean you're saying suffering is permitted and all these things, you know, that people that are hurting, you know, you're going to disregard or anything like that. But it means that you are not saying that's the end of the story, and you're seeing clearly and waking up right then. You're using the quote unquote negativity or suffering or crises or whatever to wake up, not to go more deeply into gripping the material world by the throat. It's a wake up call. It's a call to not go more deeply into the illusion. And then the second thing that's happening there is that you are creating, there's that word, you know, you're revealing, let's say that, revealing your capacity to let the miraculous flow through. So I'll probably hang up on that word creative, because I do love that word. And I think we are creators. And in a broad sense, that is indeed what we're doing. But I just like remembering that, you know, our beautiful vision is already whole and it exists within us. That wholeness, that perfection, already exists, the beautiful expression of you on this planet, in your life, in your circumstances, in all its beauty already exists. And we're removing the layers to the experience of that. Okay, and so that's why that non-resistance and letting the world go completely, it doesn't mean you aren't going to do amazing things to affect change, but we're going to do that from the inner space, not from the external space. There are a few occasions, very, very few occasions, where we need to interact, you know, with a no in the external. And that might be, you know, stopping a child from crossing the street, you know, into traffic. You know, of course, that's going to just be in the moment you would do that as a human being. But that's just flowing from the present moment and caring about your fellow man. What we're talking about here is not getting involved in all the judgments and all the conflict pendulums that are flying around. And of course, I'm not saying that you can't say no. You know, let's say somebody invites you to lunch, it's not a good time for you to go, or there's obligations that you would choose to take off your schedule. That's fine. You know, that's fine. That's just managing your time. I'm talking about the emotional enmeshments and the identities that we get entranced in. That's what we're talking about in terms of letting the world go completely. You can say no, you can do those things, but we're going to further define in the transurfing way what that really looks like shortly. So back to pendulums, that third thing we sat with last time. I am awake in this dream. Remember that when you're dreaming at night, anything is possible. And that's a huge superpower for doing that in your waking state as well, because suddenly your mind shifts to this perspective that absolutely anything is possible right now. A train could, you know, fly through my dining room and park in the living room. You know, anything is possible. I could fly. I could do all this. And yes, you may not be doing those things in waking space, but you're opening those channels of the mind, that circuitry that's so well trodden over all these years living in the material world, that you're opening up to anything is possible. And so the miraculous is more likely to get through. Because if we already have the narrative that so-and-so is a son of a bitch and this situation isn't going to work out and the groceries are going to be too expensive and Christmas is going to be a burden or whatever, then that's sure as shit what you're going to get. I guess we're doing the explicit version. I don't do many explicit versions, but I guess we're doing one today. So anyway, you're going to get that. You're going to get that. When you wake up in the dream, several important things are happening, but one is saying, I'm back in charge. There's more going on here. What's going on internally as opposed to what's going on externally? And we're deprioritizing, deprivileging. I'm not sure if those are words, but you get what I mean. We're deemphasizing the external because we need to. It is such a seduction. So that's where we're entering the stream today. And I want to start right in, you know, asking how that went for you. Was it challenging? Was it exhilarating? Was it a bit of all of the above? And we're going to do several principles today. Again, not reading word for word because I don't want to infringe upon Zealand's copyright, but I'll just tell you my experiences with these next principles. So starting with number one, awakening. He states the principle and then he states the interpretation. And these are just short, succinct windows into the action that you can take in your mind. And this principle of being awake is very much what we were just talking about the power of in any moment, in any situation that is happening, whether it's happy or sad or challenging or full of conflict, just the ability to pull back and to say, I'm awake in this dream internally, into yourself right then, that immediately puts you in the driver's seat and connects you to your authenticity. You're no longer just firing on all the well-trodden paths in your brain, and you actually have power. That is an enormously important principle. So keep practicing that. And it's time to step in to reclaiming what is rightfully ours. Children are very much in the moment. And bit by bit, as we grow older and as we become acculturated, we get lost into the material world being all that there is or all that is possible for us. And it's usually based on a whole catalog of scars and, you know, difficult storylines. And again, that's how the brain works. We are not denying that the brain is an amazing ally, but only if we are awake and it's serving our imagination and it's serving our ability to be the masters of this exchange between the interior and the exterior. Okay, number two, hacking the dream. It's really helpful to imagine in any moment in your waking life that you are on a stage, that these are props, that these are characters, and that you are playing a role. And is that the role you want to be playing right now? Pull back just that much. That's hacking the dream. That's seeing that you actually, and we've talked about this in the past, you are actually the director. So just bringing that awareness into any moment, even the good ones. So why would I want to do that if everything's going great? Again, just to not start clinging to situations or people or events, because what we are in touch with in terms of our interior authenticity in any moment will always far eclipse anything we will experience in the external world. And that's really important to remember. That's your God, goddess, nature. That's your authentic self. That always is going to be the best experience. And you always have access to it underneath these layers of reality, quote unquote, that are superimposed over it. And nothing, even the most beautiful moment with your spouse or your children or in nature, although those are wonderful, we all want them and we're all going to be enjoying more of them, and rightfully so. But those are still secondary to you being in touch with your authenticity. But in any moment, particularly the challenging ones, remember, This is a stage. You know, Shakespeare said that. I guess he was really esoteric, wasn't he? I have no idea. But, you know, this wisdom has been here, but we're really embracing it on a new level now. Number three, child of God. He goes into the most important principle that you are a child of God. Define that however you want. Define that in terms of your authentic best self, whatever, but you have the juice, you have the power, you have all you could ever need, and you have resources, all the resources you could ever need internally, not externally. We're not waiting for some event to happen. We're not waiting for some man or woman to show up. We can enjoy all these things, but we're not waiting for them. Eckhart Tolle often says, give up waiting as a state of mind. It's now. And you have the right to be in touch with that part of yourself. That's what these disciplines are putting us in touch with. And it releases something amazing into the external world that you'll get to see the mirror of. Remember, it's a mirror. These two sides of the mirror, you will get to experience that and enjoy that. But know that the source is you and your God, goddess, nature. That's where all this is coming from, and claim that. That's what he's really saying in this third principle. There's one sentence here I'd love to share with you. Do not ask, demand, or strive because a God wouldn't do that. It is. It just is. There's this agency. So you don't have to go around being scared. And that's something we're going to have to remind ourselves, right? For sure. We're going to have to remind ourselves of that. But what a great idea to offload, right? And so back to this idea of child of God, I want to read this one sentence from the text. The pendulums have not only succeeded in taking away people's awareness of their own abilities, they have perverted the very meaning of life, replacing the notion of being used of God with worship. Whereas, in fact, the true goal of life and the idea of service of God consists in co-creation, creation together with quote-unquote God, with that part within you, that part that is interacting and removing these barriers. So let's return to this idea of pendulums again, okay? Pendulums. We talked about it last time. We'll talk more through the short principles in the days ahead. But again, if you get the larger volume of Reality Transurfing, there's a big section on it, and it's so enormously helpful. I highly, highly recommend it. In fact, I'll probably do a podcast just on pendulums one day soon. But anyway, it's suffice it to say for now, it's enough to know that a pendulum is like a collection of conflict headed your way. And it doesn't have a consciousness of its own. It's important to know that, you know, so, you know, you're the one that's conscious. And as long as you're awake in the dream, but its whole existence is to live off conflict. So just think about it. Just think of the layers and layers and layers of pendulums, and that energy shifts back and forth. So a pendulum is a great image. You know, it's a great name for that. And it's trying to throw us off balance all the time, and it seduces our focus. And just think of all the political pendulums right now, Republican, Democrat, you know, what's going on with this investigation versus that investigation. The whole point, if you're awake, is to see that the system of the pendulum itself wants conflict. It doesn't care which side you're on. It doesn't care which side is right or higher or lower or more productive or less progressive or more conservative. It doesn't matter. The point in seeing it properly is to see that it wants your conflict. It wants your energy to engage with it. But the thing to do with pendulums is maybe counterintuitive at first, but is first to say yes to them. That doesn't mean, yes, I'm going to start letting it suck me dry or suck out my vitality like a vampire, but you acknowledge it and you say yes, and you use all that energy that's heading your way then to your advantage. And you do that then by first and foremost being alert to it. It's kind of like the martial arts metaphor. I am not a martial artist, but when that energy of the offense is headed your way, the skill of the martial artist is that they learn to use all of that and redirect it. They don't fight back like a brick, you know, or there's injury. So it's using and seeing all that energy headed your way. Maybe your pendulum is in the form of conflict with your teenager. That's possible. And, you know, who knows why they're upset? And who knows if they even know why they're upset? But there's all this energy. It could have to do with something they saw on TikTok. It could have to do with, you know, a bad grade at school or being slighted by a friend or a combination of many, many, many things. But just think about the pendulums flying around in the air right now to do with the busy holiday season, traffic, weather, money, presents, activities, politics, spouses, children, resources. I mean, come on. It's like a minefield if you think about it. And that's what I find so exciting about transurfing, is because I'm suddenly like going out into my day thinking, oh, that's a pendulum. Oh, that's a pendulum. And we're going to say yes to them. Yes, we're just going to say yes. Yes, meaning I see you and I see you for what you are. You want my conflict energy and I'm not going to give that to you. But yes, yep, I see it. I see it. I see it right here. I'm going to give an internal yes to everything that appears momentarily on the stage of my external world for the next week. I'm going to give that a big fat yes. Again, not because you're going to get hooked into it, but that you're going to reassert that I'm awake in this dream, drop down into what your vision for your life is, and then move accordingly. But to deny pendulums are there, at first, we have to see them. So say the yes, reaffirm what you are about, and then here's the thing that takes a pendulum's energy back down to something manageable. And actually, from the perspective of transurfing principles, allows you to reclaim energy that that system is holding for yourself, is you then ignore it. You ignore it. So we are first going to say yes. Yep, I see that. I see that. I see that. It wants my attention. It wants my energy. It wants me to lose focus. It wants me to get sucked in to whatever's going on there. All right, I see it. I see it. Yes, I see it. Drop in to your own, I'm awake in the dream. I'm awake. I'm seeing things. I'm in touch with my authenticity and what my vision for my life is, my dreams for my life. And then you ignore pendulums. You ignore them. We'll become more finessed about how to do these later. But for the week ahead, I want you to say yes to everything. And again, I'm not saying if you need to say no to a dinner that you don't have time to go to. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the shit coming at us. Okay. All right. And we're going to say, yeah, that's there. Yep, I see that. This is like how I'm loving framing non-resistance. Yep, I see that. I see that. I see that. Oh, my husband and I, oh, we could really go down a rabbit hole there, have conflict all night on that one. I see that. That's a pendulum. That's a pendulum. Yep, I see that. I see that. Drop back into I'm awake in this dream and then ignore the pendulum. Let it diffuse and let something inspired from your authentic self surface. If something needs done, ignoring the pendulum diffuses it. Okay, so we're in the last few days of the cold moon. I'll touch base with you again next week. I'm keeping this short, so I'm gonna hop off here now. I know you've got a lot going on. We're gonna do this. We're doing this together. We're making December much more manageable and joyful. And I love that you're here doing this with me. So say yes, drop back into your awake state and ignore all pendulums. Okay, until next time, take good care. Ooh. Hi, everyone. If you're enjoying this podcast, remember to hit subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And if my work is nourishing your heart and imagination, consider supporting the Apothecary Podcast. Just follow the links to make a contribution. And for the full scope of my projects and offerings, including my weekly newsletter, visit lorigreen.net.